Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
We are going to continue on in our series entitled Samson. We're looking at three parts of Samson's life in the Old Testament: his rise, his fall, but then ultimately we're going to get to next week the storyline of his redemption. And I love that scripture is packed full of stories about people who are not perfect. Anybody else ever glad when you realize that other people are not perfect? I know that encourages me because it gives somebody like me hope. And Samson is one of those people where we can look at his life and we can learn some principles. It's almost like God has given us a mentor and we can learn from their pain and not have to experience the same pain. How many know that's a good mentor when you can learn from their pain and not have to experience it yourself? And so today, we're going to continue on, and I've entitled today's message, Watch Your Step. Watch your step. Now, I got to ask this question. Have you ever met somebody who is just obsessed over the number of steps they take every single day? You met somebody like this? They're always saying, what's your step count? And by the way, this has kind of gone to a whole new level now that our watches, our phones, they'll yell at you like, hey, you haven't been moving enough. You got to get up. You got to get moving. But a number of years ago, before smartphones existed, my wife purchased this device. She came home from work one day, and she had this little tiny plastic device clipped onto her pants. And I was like, what is that? She said, it's a pedometer. I said, what is a pedometer? She said, it measures how many steps you take every day. I said, okay, that's interesting. Why would you want to know that? And she said, well, you need 10,000 steps. I said, well, who came up with that number? She goes, everybody knows. Everybody just knows you need 10,000. Any 10,000 step people in the house today? 10,000 step people online? Come on. I know you're there. You know, it's interesting that was such an important device to my wife. But now we have these watches that kind of notify us. And something that you might want to know about me, from time to time, I get a little bit competitive. I know that might sound shocking. Some of you might not believe it. But a number of months back, we were trying to measure our steps. We were trying to hit a certain amount. And every time I would hit 10,000 steps, my wife would hit 12,000 steps. Every time I would hit 12,000 steps, she would hit 12,007 steps. Come on, can I get an amen? How many know what I'm talking about? And finally, I say to myself, I will not lose another day. And so I made sure that Amber went to bed. Hey, good night, honey. I love you. Once she was fast asleep, I put on my watch and I began to do steps up and down our staircase at home. I was like, I'm not going to lose again. It's interesting how quickly we can be obsessed over the distance of our steps in our culture. We get obsessed with how far we've gone, how much we've journeyed. But here's what's important for us to recognize today. It's not just the distance that we should obsess about. It's actually the direction. Because my concern is we can live in a world that's all about measuring how far we've gone. But if you're going a great distance, but you're going in the wrong direction, how many know it's not going to help you? And so as followers of Jesus, we need to take time to consider for a moment, what's the direction that my steps are leading? Because here's why this is important. Our steps are creating trajectory in life. They're creating a pathway that we're walking down, we're working down. And here's what's important for us to recognize today. Every step, it starts with a choice. Every step. Every step we take, it starts with a decision. It starts with a choice, and that choice is creating a trajectory in our lives. And over the next few minutes, as we look at the life of Samson, I want us to wrestle with this question: are my steps taking me in the direction that I want to end up in? More importantly, are my steps taking me in the direction and the destiny that God wants me to end up in? Because how many know, God actually has a good plan for your life. Anybody else believe that? See, I firmly believe God has a good plan for our lives, but every step is either taking us closer to that or it's taking us further from that. Trajectory. That's why when I talk about watch your step, we need to take account of what our steps are doing and where our steps are leading us. You see, in the book of Judges, we read about the people of Israel. This was God's chosen people. In the Old Testament, God made a covenant with a man named Abraham and said, listen, through you and your family, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And as God makes this covenant with Abraham, his family grows to become what we know as the people of Israel. And they experienced blessing. How many of you love when you experience blessing? But the interesting thing that we read in the people of Israel in the book of Judges, whenever they experienced blessing, it wasn't too long after that they began to lose sight of the source of their blessing. And so they're at this mountaintop, man, they're blessed, life is good, and they forget about the source of their blessing. They forget about relying on God, walking in his ways, and they slowly drift, and they experience opposition from enemies, and they find themselves in these deep, dark valleys, and what do? God, help! They call out for help. And so what does God do throughout the book of Judges? He raises up a judge to step in and deliver the people from the oppression that they were experiencing. They get back on the right track. And what happens? They end up experiencing this thing called blessing. Can you say blessing? And then what happens? They forget about the source of their blessing. So you read Judges. It's kind of high point, low point, high point, low point. Can anybody else identify with that in their lives? You see, this storyline is a reminder, not just of people back then. No, it speaks to us today. Why? Because I can identify my life. Sometimes when I'm experiencing blessing, I can forget the source of my blessing. And I can end up experiencing pain because I think I'm making this thing happen on my own strength. Samson's a great example of this for us. You see, today I want us to recognize all of us have the capacity within to take steps in the direction of destruction. Let me say that again. All of us, we have the capacity within our lives to take steps in the direction of destruction. This is what happens to Samson. Samson, he was chosen by God. He was set apart from his birth to take a Nazirite vow. He was going to be God's chosen person to bring deliverance to the people of Israel. But for those who listened to the message last week, you realize there was little steps that Samson began to take. And it was moving him towards this thing called destruction. See, even when I say that all of us, we have the capacity within, some might say today, well, Tyler, hold on. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm under grace. And the reality is that's awesome. The Bible says you're a saint, but guess what? How many of you know saints still sometimes sin? See, the moment I hear somebody say, well, Tyler, they could never, and fill in the blank, whatever that is, I know them, they would never. The moment I hear that, I recognize we've underestimated the power of sin. See, Paul in the New Testament, he talks about how we're still in this battle. We wrestle with this thing called the flesh. So, yes, I've been justified by the grace of Jesus. In other words, God's justice has been satisfied towards sin. But I'm not yet completely sanctified. In other words, that ongoing process of becoming more and more like Jesus. What's the reality there? Well, we still wrestle with this thing called sin. So all of us, we have this capacity within to take steps towards destruction. Can you say destruction? Destruction. Now, if the message stops there, how many know this is not a very encouraging message? But I have good news. The message doesn't stop there. Because I want us to recognize today, through God's grace, we have the capacity to take steps, not towards destruction. Through God's grace, we have the capacity to take steps toward destiny, toward God's God-given destiny in our lives. Jesus says this in John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that he came to give us life and life to the full or abundant life. And what that means is every day when every step that I take, it starts with a choice. I can choose to go my own direction. And here's where that often leads. It often leads to this place called destruction. Or I can choose to walk in the pathway of God's destiny for my life. See, Samson, we see this wrestle. Every day he's making choices. Every day Samson's taking steps. Friends, we gotta watch our step. And here's why being desperate for the grace of God is so important. This is why we talk every single week about Jesus. We need a rescuer. We need God's grace to help us get off of the path of destruction and onto the path of destiny. See, Samson's life, it's a powerful reminder for us. And here's what's so powerful about Samson's life and what it speaks to us. Big failures start with small steps. Let me say that again. Big failures, it actually starts with small steps. It's never for Samson's life, it was never just one big step. For my life, for your life, it's never just one huge step out of nowhere. No, big failure, it actually starts with small steps. And I want to remind us before we go any further, listen, for those who are watching online, it's so critical that we remember failure is an event, it's not a person. Let me say that again, because maybe you're in this room and you've made some decisions. You look back in the rearview mirror of life and your knees are kind of scraped up today. Why? Because you've stumbled, you've fallen, you've made some mistakes. Can I remind you, even though maybe you've experienced failure, you're not a failure. God's grace can change everything. That's why next week when we talk about the redemption of Samson, I don't want you to miss that. But in order for us to understand the power of redemption, we need to understand the reality of a fall. See, big failure starts with small steps. Starts with a choice. Again, every step, it starts with a choice. And if you're anything like me, there's times where I believe that I see clearly where I should go. God, I got it. I know where I'm headed. I'll take it from here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 reminds us of this. There's a path before each person that seems right. You ever been there? A path in your life, it seems right, but the problem is it ends in death. That's what the scripture says. And from time to time in the middle of our day, we come to this crossroads, and will I choose the path of destiny that God wants me to go down, or will I go after my own appetite, after my own desire? And there's times where I can convince myself, I want to go this way. It seems right to me. But the good news is, Scripture is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God wants to lead us into truth. He wants us to experience the freedom and the liberty. Are we moving closer or further towards God's will in our lives? Are we just following our own appetites and our own desires like Samson? Because remember, last week we saw Samson, according to his Nazirite vow, he wasn't supposed to go near anything that was dead. But the honey looked good inside of that dead lion. So what does he do? He gets in this place of compromise. He takes the honey, picks up a jawbone of a dead donkey to use as a weapon. There's already little cracks that we're starting to see in Samson. And what he doesn't realize is one step leads to another. Every step, it starts with a choice. And again, Samson didn't experience this fall or failure because of just one big decision. No, it was a series of steps. Today, I want us to look at a few of the steps that we see developing into a pattern in lives. And each one of these steps, it leads into another step. We can learn from it today. See, the first steps that we see in Samson is this. We see steps of continued compromise. In Samson's life, we see steps of continued compromise. We saw some of those compromises last week in chapters 14 and chapters 15. Today, I want us to focus in on chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Judges chapter 16, it says this, starting in verse 1. Samson, he went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute. Now understand, it didn't just go from Samson walking in obedience to all of a sudden one big step. No, it was already a series of steps. And where do we see Samson now? It's continued compromise. It says this in verse 2, the Gazites were told, Samson has come here. And they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, let us wait until the light of the morning. Then we will kill him. Today, it's important for us to remember, when it comes to compromise, when it comes to our enemies, they don't just want to discourage you, friends. They want to destroy you. The enemies of your soul, they don't want to just kind of bum you out for a couple of hours. No, the thief's purpose, the devil's purpose is to steal, kill, and ultimately to what? To destroy. See, Samson, he thought he could get away with it. He's kind of flirting with the edge. And what do we see? Cracks in the character. It's continued compromise. It says this, but Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and pulled them up, bar and all. So what's interesting, he still has the strength. He still has the strength. Has the compromise happened? Yeah, there's been step after step after, there's a pattern forming here, but he still has his strength. Says this, that he put them on his shoulders, carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. And after this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Come on, can you say Delilah? Here's this so popular figure that we've heard the name. And Samson, it wasn't enough for him just to go down to Gaza and to visit a prostitute. Now, he's falling in love. And notice the pattern of compromise. He goes and falls in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek. Now, according to the Nazirite vow that Samson had on his life, the call to be a Nazirite, he wasn't supposed to go near anything that was dead, and he wasn't supposed to go anywhere near the fruit of the vine. The word Sorek literally means this, choice vines. So what should have been off limits in the first place, Samson now, hey, I still got my strength. Gaza worked out just fine. Let's go down to the valley where the vines are. Samson, no, that's against the call on your life. Samson, that should be off limits. Well, it's all good. I still got my strength. And the compromise continues. For Samson. See, what's interesting, here's what Samson and the issue that he's facing. Compromise became a characteristic. In Samson's life, compromise, it wasn't just a moment, it wasn't just a speed bump, it wasn't just a mistake. Compromise actually became a defining characteristic. It was a pattern. It was literally shaping and forming who he was as a person. See, it wasn't just a moment of mistake. It was the pattern that began to shape his character. Steps of continued compromise. Maybe today you find yourself in a place where what you thought was just a moment, now it's become a pattern. And you convince yourself, you know what, it's okay. I'm not really hurting any. I'm not really destroying. I still got my strength. But again, we need to remember one step leads to another. Because Samson, he goes from steps of continued compromise to next steps of a calloused conscience. Steps of a calloused conscience. It was one thing to walk in compromise, but the longer that you create the pattern of compromise, the more that your conscience gets numb, gets dull. In fact, we see, and as we continue on, Judges chapter 16, Samson, he meets Delilah. Come on, the woman of his dreams. She's everything he ever wanted. And the Philistine rulers, the enemies of the Israelites at this point, they gather together with Delilah and say, hey, we will pay you a huge sum of money if you can deliver Samson to us. See, Samson doesn't even realize that he is quite literally sleeping with his enemy. And she's begging him day after day, time after time, Samson, tell me the secret to your strength. You see, Samson was an enemy to the Philistines. Why? Because he has wreaked havoc on them. Nobody can subdue him. Nobody can overpower him. He is strong. And so if they can figure out the source of his strength, maybe they can do something about this terror named Samson. It's interesting. Delilah begins to beg him, Samson, please tell me, please tell me, please tell me. He says to her, well, if you tie me up with these bowstrings, then I'll become weak like any other person. And Samson falls asleep, and Delilah does just that. She ties him up with bowstrings. In the middle of the night, she cries out, Samson, wake up, the Philistines are upon you. And he stands up and just snaps him. Come on, wouldn't that be awesome if you could just like... And she's frustrated because, Samson, you're making a fool of me. You lied about me. Second time, Samson, please tell me the secret to your strength. All right, if you get new ropes and you wrap me up, then I'll become weak as any other man. He falls asleep in Delilah's lap. And once again, she does what he just said would destroy him. Now, I'm not the smartest human being in the world. But if you are confiding in somebody what will destroy you, and time after time they continue to do what you said will destroy you, run! Like, this girl is no good, Samson. Because every time you say, if you do this, it will lead to my demise, and then you just conveniently fall asleep and she just happens to do what says, you got to get out of there. But what's going on with Samson? That conscience has become calloused. He can't see clearly. He can't see it for what it is. A third time, Samson, come on. You say you love me. Tell me what to do. What's the secret of your strength? And he said, hey, if you weave my hair into a weaver's loom, then I will lose my strength. He falls asleep once again, which I don't know how you fall asleep with your hair being weaved into somebody's loom. But Samson, wake up, the Philistines are upon you. Boom, snaps it, shakes himself free. Look at verse 15. And she, speaking of Delilah, said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Now again, if his conscience wasn't calloused, he hopefully would reply, how can you say you love me when every time I tell you this will destroy me and you end up doing that very thing? But again, he can't see. His conscience is calloused. You have mocked me these three times and you have not told me where your great strength lies. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart. Finally revealed it. Here's the secret of my true strength. If you shave my head, I'll become as weak as any other person. See, his conscience has become so calloused at this point that he's willing to confide everything in his enemy. Somebody who clearly does not have his best interests in mind, but the conscience is so callous that here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. And that night, we read that he falls asleep in Delilah's lap. And while he's sleeping, his head is shaved. And once again, she calls out to him, "Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you." See, what's going on in this moment is those patterns of continued compromise has led to a place where his conscience is no longer sharp like it was. We read a few verses later that as he's captured by the Philistines, the first thing that they do is gouge his eyes out. But here's what I want you to hear today. Listen, Samson lost his sight way before he lost his eyes. He was already blind. He could not see that it was his enemy that was lulling him to sleep. He could not see the danger at hand. He had already lost his sight before his eyes were gouged out of his head. Callous conscience. Callous conscience. See, this led him to a place. The third step was this: steps of careless conceit. Careless conceit. You see, time after time, Samson, he would compromise, but he still had his strength. He would get close to the edge, and yet he still got away unscathed. And now all of a sudden, as he's experienced these patterns of compromise, his conscience has been calloused. It leads him to this place of careless conceit. I got this. In fact, so we look at verse 20. To me, these are some of the saddest words in Scripture. It says this: "And she said, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' And he awoke from his sleep and said," listen to this, "'I will go out as at other times and shake myself free.'" I got it. Man, Gaza, they thought they had me pinned down, but I took their city gates. Time after time, I've been able to shake myself loose. No big deal. It says this, that I will go out. Think about how conceited that statement is. "I will go out just as other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. See, the conceit for Samson was that he thought he was the source of his strength. This is where we get ourselves into trouble, friends, because every step, it starts with a choice, and we can say to ourselves in these patterns of compromise, saying, "You know what? Nothing's happened to me yet. I can keep going. I can keep moving." We don't realize what's going on in our conscience. And yet God in his grace is continuing to call out, saying, "No, no, no, get on the right path. Come on, consider your steps. The trajectory matters. It matters." See, this conceit, he had begun to put confidence not in the God of his strength, but in his own natural strength. And that's where we trip up. That's when we find ourselves as we begin to understand that the choice of each step, that I can move towards destruction or I can move towards destiny. But it's not about the strength that I bring. It's about the grace and the strength of Jesus working in me. See, even though Samson, he experienced failure, he experienced pain. Listen, the story doesn't end there. Listen, next week, don't miss next weekend, because we're going to talk about not just the fall of Samson, but the redemption of Samson. Because today, you need to be reminded, Jesus is still specializing in the work of redeeming people's lives who've fallen, who have their knees scuffed up, who have a less than ideal track record. God specializes in not only redeeming people like that, but using people like that for his glory. See, today, as we consider Samson, Understand, it wasn't one big step. Some of us, we're always worried about the big step. And for your life, for my life, it's never the one big step. It's the series of little step after little step after little step. And by the way, this works both towards destruction, but it also works towards destiny. Because you may say, well, man, I'm not yet where God wants me to be, but are you taking little steps in that direction? Because it's little step after little step. It's a series of steps. It starts with the choice. Why is this so important to remember? Because it's creating trajectory in your life. It's creating trajectory in my life. Today, is there a pattern of compromise continued? Have you maybe said to yourself, you know what, I got it. I know that Jesus has a good plan for my life, but I'm under grace, so I can kind of get over here. And my concern is the more you continue to step to see how far you can go, the conscience that once used to bring conviction gets calloused. The conscience that once used to help draw you back to the steps that you need to be engaging in, it begins to grow cold. Is the conscience in your life, is it grown calloused? So maybe you find yourself in a place where conceit has taken root, where you say, you know what, I'm doing just fine. I got this. Oh, today, listen. The grace of Jesus is available to pull you out of those patterns, to help you adjust the trajectory of those steps. Today, can I invite you to grab your phone, your smartphone, your tablet, whatever it is. If you haven't yet downloaded the Life Center app, we want you to do that. Here's why. At the close of every message, we talk about next steps. And here's why this is important. Whether you've been serving Jesus for 3 days or 3 decades, we all have a next step. In other words, we're going to take time to listen to Scripture, but this is not just about hearing some information. This is about us walking out transformation. That's what Jesus does. Do you know Jesus is still transforming lives? Still busy doing that. And today, there's a few next steps that I want to encourage you. So grab that phone, open up the Life Center app. Right there on the home page, you can click Next Steps. And there's going to be a series of next steps that come out that I want you to consider and take one of those next steps with me today, whether you're at home, whether you're in this room. Well, would you join me with that? Maybe the first next step for you is this, that you're going to make the decision to say yes to Jesus. Say yes. Maybe you thought this thing called Christianity was about you being the hero of your own story. And that's not Christianity. That's called religion. Christianity is about putting your trust in the work that Jesus has done for you to redeem you, to pull you out of patterns of failure, out of patterns of compromise, onto the pathway of destiny. Maybe that's your next step. If that's you, check that first box. Another next step is this, that this week, you're going to measure your steps. Because maybe as I was talking about the fact that every step, it starts with a choice, maybe you're not even aware of the trajectory that your life is on. So you need to pause this week and kind of measure your steps. Where am I headed? Where's this going? It's hard to make good decisions without good information. Maybe that's your next step. I'm going to take time to measure my steps. Here's the third next step. I will adjust the trajectory. Maybe you've already measured. Maybe you recognize, man, I got to get off the path that I'm on. Can I tell you, God has enough grace for you to make the adjustment, to get back on, to get those steps going in the right direction. Maybe that's your next step. I need to adjust my trajectory. There's some stuff that I've got to change. Here's a fourth next step. You heard Bree mention it earlier during our offering video. But in just a number of days, we're going to be doing something that we do every year around here, which is our backpack giveaway. Start of the school year is just around the corner. And yes, the start of this year, it's going to look a little bit different. But we still want to make sure that every child in our city has the resources that they need to be successful. So we're going to be giving away backpacks that are stuffed full of school supplies, and it's going to help provide the necessary tools that they need. Each one of these backpacks, it costs about $25 or so. And maybe your next step, this is the fourth next step, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. So maybe you want to purchase a backpack. Maybe you want to purchase a few backpacks. And you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to make a difference in somebody else's life because of the way that the grace of Jesus has made a difference in my life. So again, there's four different options. What's your next step? What are you going to put into practice as you hear scripture? What is it that God is calling you and challenging you to do today? Come on, right now, would you take a moment? Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that you would help us to watch our steps, understanding that our steps are creating the trajectory for the life that we're living. Pray for some of us as we take time this week to measure our steps, that Holy Spirit, you would speak to us, that you'd reveal things that need to be adjusted. Lord, as well as you speak to us, I pray that there'd be others who will adjust the trajectory, that they would change the direction, that they would pivot some of the decisions. Lord, I thank you for those who are willing to make a difference today. Lord, we're able to make a difference because of the difference that you've made in our lives. And today, I want to pray for those who are maybe making the decision to put your trust in Jesus. Maybe you check that first box and you're saying, you know what, today, I'm going to say yes. Today, can I invite you to say a simple prayer with me? Would you just repeat after me? Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation and help me to follow you every day of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, today, can we celebrate those who are making that decision?